Matthew 26 again tonight, Matthew chapter 26. We're studying through this book together, going, if you will, verse by verse. We preached this morning on Judas Iscariot, and I'll be honest with you, I'm glad I'm finished with that. Going forward now, we've come to the next portion of this chapter, and I'm enjoying preaching through books. I hope you're enjoying the journey with me. And we've come to Matthew chapter 26. If you're keeping notes, let me go ahead and give these to you. The verses are verses 17 through 19, and then also verses 26 through 30. The parallel passages that we'll be dealing with are Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 16, verses 22 through 25, and then Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 20. Let's begin our reading in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 26. Matthew 26, 26. The Bible says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." This is the story of the Lord's Supper. And even though we're not observing the Lord's Supper tonight, we do this about twice a year, about every six months. Try to do it around Easter and try to do it around Thanksgiving. Tonight, we've come to the Lord's Supper in our study through the Gospel of Matthew. So tonight, I'm preaching to you on the Lord's Supper. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to understand the truth surrounding this great, 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 great truth tonight. Speak to us, challenge us, encourage us for being here in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in the text before us, we see the Lord and His disciples are observing the Passover Supper. And the Passover Supper was to show that Christ was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies and promises that God would send forth the Lamb, not a Lamb, but the Lamb. He is the Lamb of God to be slain for the sin of the world. Now, in preparation for this supper, the Lord told Peter, I didn't read this, but with these verses that I gave you, you can read it yourself. The Lord told Peter and John to go into a certain city. And when they got there, they would find a man carrying a pitcher of water. In other words, this was a duty typically done by female back in Bible days. So it was unusual for a man to be carrying a pitcher of water. Jesus said, "Peter and John, I want you to go ahead to this certain city. And when you get there, you're going to find a man bearing or carrying a pitcher of water." He said, "When you find him, follow him to the house where he goes into. And when you see what house he goes in, you go in that house yourself. And you tell the goodman there that the Lord, me, I'm going to keep the Passover at his house with my disciples." The Lord said he would show them an upper room, a large upper room that was already furnished and already prepared for the Passover Supper. Peter and John were to make ready for the Passover Supper in that room. And the Word of God tells us that Peter and John obeyed the Lord. And when they did, they found exactly what Jesus told them they would find. Now, before I get to the meat of this message, in other words, the three thoughts I'm going to give you concerning the Lord's Supper. Let me give you a couple of other thoughts to glean here. Because as I remind you, anytime you come to the Word of God, God does not just want you to learn facts. He doesn't just want me to learn facts. He wants us to know what the Bible says. He wants us to understand that the Word of God is clearly stating that there. He wants you to learn facts. But He wants you to take these facts and apply them to your daily life. In other words, the Word of God is not just so you learn what happened, but what does that mean in my life for today? Now, that being the case, let me give you a couple of things here, just an introduction as we're plowing towards the main thoughts concerning the Lord's Supper. First of all, this is just introduction here. Notice how Peter and John did not question the Lord's command, but they obeyed His command immediately and without any kind of question whatsoever. Let me say this to you. This is how our obedience to the Lord should always be. Whatever He tells you to do, even if you don't understand what it is, we should unquestionably obey whatever God tells us to do. Secondly, notice how what the Lord said they would find when they got there is exactly what they found. This is another passage that clearly shows the omniscience of our Lord. You know, before I go further here and start drawing our attention to the Lord's Supper, isn't it great to know that God knows everything? I mean, where would we be if God didn't know everything? Where would we be if we could go through something that God is not aware of? Now, many of you tonight are going through some things. By the way, it's not encouraging news, but the fact of the matter is you are either going into something, you're in it now, or you've just now come out of it. Well, that's encouraging news, isn't it? Don't you love your pastor for telling you that tonight? Well, what I'm saying to you is this, God knows all things. And if He knows that when they go to that city, that exact time, that man's going to be there carrying a pitcher, friends, He knows about your life too. And He knows how to help you through. There's no question about that. Now, this being the case, getting back now to our text, we see that the Passover Supper was turned into the Last Supper. Talking about the Last Supper before the crucifixion, and this Last Supper between the Lord and His disciples has also been known as the Lord's Supper. It took place between the Lord Jesus and His disciples on the very night that He would be betrayed into the hands of wicked men. Now, it's the Lord's Supper I want to draw our attention to in this service. And it's important for us to remember how the Lord's Supper is one of the two local church ordinances. Now, the word ordinance is just a big word that means order. In other words, the Lord has ordered the local church in two specific areas, in baptism by immersion, and also this known as the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a communion service observed by the local church in which the fruit of the vine, the juice, if you will, by the way, some people try to teach you that the juice that Jesus Christ used was fermented. That's a bunch of hogwash, friends. Let me tell you one reason we know that the Lord Jesus did not use wine and did not use alcoholic beverages. What did the juice picture, my friends? What did it picture? It pictured the blood of Jesus Christ. And may I tell you that fermented wine means there's decay in that bottle. And I'm telling you that for the fruit of the vine, the juice to become fermented, it means decay must set in. I'm telling you that Jesus' blood is completely pure, without decay, without any stretch of imagination, that there's any impurity in the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't get me started on that, friends. I'm telling you that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is not going to use alcoholic beverages to picture His precious, pure, holy, unadulterated blood. And we see this tonight, that this fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread were to be partaken by born-again children of God. Children of God are commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper. As a matter of fact, Jesus said this, "This do." He didn't say think about doing it. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." We, as God's children, are commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper. And may I say this to you? We're privileged to do so as well. Let a child of God examine himself to make sure he's living in fellowship with the Lord at the moment that the Lord's Supper is observed. Now, we're not observing it tonight, but this is in preparation for it in months to come. And I'm telling you that it is good to remember as well that the Lord, right here, He only commanded the observance of it. He did not tell the local church how often to do it. There are people today who will try to criticize a local church. You only do it twice, you ought to do it more than that. Show that to them in the Bible. It's not there. The local church is commanded to do it, but He's never told us how often to do it. He leaves that up to us. And I'm telling you that we need to understand that. Now I want to think about the local church Lord's Supper tonight. I want to bring out three simple thoughts about the Lord's Supper. And at the end of this, if we have time, a lot of that depends on me, I'd like to do something tonight. I'd like to remember the Lord. And I'd like to open it up, if we have time, for you maybe to remember the Lord tonight in this service. Three things I want to give you about the Lord's Supper. Number one, its picture. We see its picture. This is found in verses 26 through 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." By the way, in context, you read this, you study it out, that "for many" there means for the benefit of many. See, he shed his blood for the world, but it only benefits many, because only many will accept it, not all of them. "For the remission of sins, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." See, as they were eating, the Lord Jesus took two things. He took unleavened bread. He broke it in their midst. And he blessed it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Eat it, it's my body." He then took the cup of the fruit of the vine, the juice, and he told his disciples to drink it because it was his blood. Now listen to me. There will some people who will try to teach you that those elements literally became the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now friends, we know that's not true, because his body was sitting in that room with them. And his blood was flowing through his veins at that time. See, Jesus also said, "I'm the vine." Does that mean he's a literal vine? No, he's speaking in typology language here. He's giving a picture. And what we see here is that those disciples no doubt understood this, that the bread and the juice that night were a beautiful picture of what the Lord was going to give. See, the unleavened bread pictured the broken body of our Lord. And the juice pictured the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, let's think about the crucifixion just a moment. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ, not a bone was broken, but his body was. Not a bone, but his body. What I'm saying to you is this: we see that as the local church observes the Lord's Supper, it is for children of God to be reminded by the picture of the bread and the juice. We're to be reminded of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. See, we know how the Lord Jesus suffered, how the Lord Jesus bled and died on the cross for our sin and for the sin of the whole world. You know, we've got some precious international students here with us. It blesses my heart to see you all here. God bless you. Honestly. You know what I'm glad to announce? I'm glad to announce that Jesus Christ did not bleed and die just for America. He bled and died for China as well. He bled and died for Japan as well. He bled and died for the world, friends. And I'm telling you that he was laughed at. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. The Bible says, when you read it, it says that they took the hair from his face and ripped it out. The Bible says they blindfolded him, trying to make fun of him because they knew he claimed to be the Messiah. So they blindfolded him because they didn't think he would know who it was, you see. And one of them came by and just hit him right in the face and said, "Prophesy, prophesy, who was it that just hit you?" And even though he couldn't see them physically, he would know who they are because he's the all-knowing God, and he knew who it was. The Bible said he opened not his mouth. He was as a sheep before a shearers. He was dumb. Doesn't mean he was dumb literally, it just means he chose to keep his mouth quiet. We know that they beat his body to a bloody pulp with the cat of nine tails. I've studied this some, and some I may have a few details off here, but according to my study, the cat of nine tails was a Roman whip that had nine strands coming out of it. That's where it gets its name, the cat of nine tails. It has nine leather strands coming out of it. And they say that they would take things like broken glass and bones of an animal and glass, and some people even say that they'd take little lead balls and tie them in the ends of them. Anything they could find that when they would bring it down across the victim's back, that those things would sting and dig in, and then they would rip it back across their back. Some people disagree as to whether they tied the Lord's hands above his head or whether they tied it around a post. Friends, what's it matter? Somehow they tied him up and they took the cat of nine tails and they came down across his back. And every time they hit him, nine leather lashes came down across his back. So every hit is like getting hit nine times, if you will. And he would come down and dig in and they would rip it back. And they would come down again and they would rip it back. Some people try to say that he was beaten with that 39 times. The Bible does not tell us that, friends. That was a Jewish thing. He was beaten by the Romans. Nobody knows how often he was beaten with that, but we know the Word of God tells us in the prophecy concerning the crucifixion in Psalm 22, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says his inwards stared upon him. That means he was so badly beaten that his interior organs were somehow exposed. And they didn't stop there. They took him to the cross. As they took a crown of thorns and put it down upon his head and beat it down with a stick. And they drove spikes through his hands, spikes through his feet. The Bible says that every bone of his body came out of joint. You say you believe that? Every word of it. Not a bone broken, but a body broken. Matter of fact, it's been reported that there are five deadly wounds. In other words, there's five wounds that individually can kill a person. The bruise, if you're bruised bad enough. The incision. The perforation. The penetration or the laceration. Any one of those five wounds could kill a person by themselves. The Lord suffered all five of them. The laceration was his back. The penetration were the spikes in his hands and through his feet. The perforation was the spear that they run up through his side after he had already died, but they ran a spear up through his side. The incision were the thorns in his holy brow. And the bruise is when they beat the daylights out of his precious holy face. I'm saying that as they beat him and nailed him to the cross, his broken body and what his literal body went through, that's what the bread pictures. Then there's the juice. When they were beating him and putting the spikes through his hands and through his feet, his precious, royal, holy, sinless blood flowed from his holy body. And through his blood, there is now remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22 teaches us that without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. See, there are people today who will try to teach you that, listen, the death of Christ was enough. That's incorrect. That is not true. Some people try to teach you that if he got run over by a truck, that was good enough. That's not true, friends. If he did not shed his blood, we have no salvation. He did shed his blood. And that's what the juice stands for. The Word of God tells us here, it's impossible for us to put ourselves in the place of Jesus and even think about what he must have been going through. Nobody really understands what he went through except him. Say it the way it is. But this night that he's going to be betrayed, he's not begun this suffering yet. We know in the Garden of Gethsemane he's going to sweat great drops of blood. We know that the devil's going to be after him. We understand all of this. But at this moment when he's having the Lord's Supper, that's not begun yet. I'm talking about his body suffering with lacerations and incisions and all of this. It's interesting. I want to show you something. Look at verse number 27. And he took the cup. Notice this. And gave thanks. You go to another parallel passage in the book of Corinthians chapter 11. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the Bible says when he took the bread and the cup, he gave thanks for them. Here he knows what he's getting ready to endure. Here he knows that the precious hair is going to be ripped out by the roots. Here he knows he's going to have saliva running down his face from hatred and people spitting in his face. Here he knows somebody's going to beat the daylights out of him. Here he knows he's going to have to endure the cat of nine tails. Here he knows that he's going to have to endure the crown of thorns. He knows that he's going to have to endure the spikes through his hands and through his feet. He knows that he's going to have to endure the Heavenly Father, that he's never been separated before, blacking out the entire world so the world does not look upon him while he turns his back on his own son. He knows there's coming the day and the moment when the Son of God would have to say, not my Father, but there would be the time when he would have to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew there was coming the moment, just in a little while, as he's in this room, it's just a little while now, that his precious blood will be flowing from his veins. Just a little while, and his bones will be separated out of joint. And the Bible says on this night, he took that bread and he took that cup and he gave thanks. My. Let me tell you why he gave thanks. Because he looked down the portals of time and he saw an old preacher boy who would accept him and ask him to come into his heart. And now, I can go live in eternity with God. How dare somebody think they can get to heaven because of the good deeds they've done? What a stench in God's nostrils. I mean, it took the precious broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the picture of the Lord's Supper. Secondly, let me show you the purpose of it. You can hold your place here. I'm turning to Luke chapter 22, the parallel passage. Here's what it says in verse number 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, in this verse we see the purpose of the Lord's Supper. It is not to save our soul. Partaking of this unleavened bread and drinking the juice can no more save you than a horse or cow out in the pasture out here, friends. What I'm saying to you is only Jesus saves. But the purpose of the Lord's Supper is not salvation. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is to remember the Lord's salvation in your life. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I mean, you're not playing games. By the way, He'll change your life when you trust Him. Stop believing that you can pray a prayer and live any way you want to live. It doesn't work that way, friends. True salvation changes your life. And what I'm saying to you is when you're saved and you know it, the fact of the matter is when we come to the Lord's table, we come to the Lord's supper and we eat the bread and we drink the juice, we are not getting saved, we're already saved. We're remembering what it took to make us saved. We're remembering, I'm talking about the sacrifice of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. One person put it this way, the bread and wine will remind us how sinful sin must be, when nothing but Christ's death could atone for it. The bread and wine will remind us that though our sins are great, a great price has been paid for our redemption. Not least, it will produce in us gratitude. The bread and wine will remind us how great is our debt to Christ and how deeply bound we are to glorify Him in our lives. May these be the feelings that we experience whenever we receive the Lord's Supper. You come to the Lord's Supper and you're saved. You've asked Jesus to forgive you and you meant it. He's changed your life. He wants you when you take that little piece of bread that we use here, the unleavened bread, as we get ready to partake it, He wants us to be focusing on what His body went through so that you wouldn't have to go through those things. We have the juice and He wants us to specifically think at that time about the shed blood that came out of His royal veins. I don't even feel worthy to preach on this. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is just to remember God. Remember what Jesus did in your place. Then number three, we see its promise. Its picture, its purpose, its promise. We see this in verse 29 of our text in Matthew chapter 26. Notice what Jesus said, I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, as the Lord was giving this particular supper, He told these disciples that He would not drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when He drinks it new with them in His Father's kingdom. Now, this was the Lord giving a wonderful promise to these disciples. You know what it was? He was telling them, I'm getting ready to go away. My body's going to be broken and my blood's going to be shed and I'm going to die. But that's not the end of the story, boys. I'll be back again. I'm telling you, He was talking. Now get this. He was speaking about His upcoming death in that room. And no doubt that night was a dark time for these disciples. But one man put it this way, thus, by talking about, I'm not going to drink it again until I drink it later with you. In this, it says, thus He led His disciples through the dark valley that lay ahead into the sunshine that lies beyond. Boy, I like that statement. He was leading these disciples through the dark valley that was just ahead into the sunlight and sunshine that was lying beyond. See, as God's children partake of the Lord's Supper, you'll notice Preacher Lashley did this, and I'm just continuing a lot of things that he did. If you'll notice, maybe you haven't noticed, that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we have three chairs here. We have one here and one there, and we have an empty one that sits back behind the table. That empty one is reserved for Jesus. Because He said He's going to drink it with us new in His kingdom. And what I'm saying to you is when you come to the Lord's Supper, there's a great picture there, the broken body of Christ, the shed blood of Christ. There's a great purpose there. We just remember His goodness and what it took to save our soul. But then there's a promise connected with it. When we take the Lord's Supper, the Bible says we are doing it until He comes. I'm telling you that we realize there's a great and precious promise connected with observing the Lord's Supper. And that is saying Jesus is coming back again. You know, we're living in dark days, friends. We really are. But keep your eyes on the sky. Because Jesus Christ is coming again. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible told me so. Somebody says, that book's full of lies. Prove it. Somebody says, wait a minute. That book has no power in it. I dare to differ with you. Let me tell you why I dare to differ. Because it's changed my life. And I have found in my life that every word of God is true. And the Word of God tells us plainly, 1 Corinthians 11:26, talking about the Lord's Supper, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. John 14:3, Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Acts 1:11. Once the Lord Jesus was resurrected and all those people were there and He was ascended up and the clouds received Him out of their sight, Acts 1:11 took place, and it said this. It's talking about the angels appeared as they were standing there gazing up into the clouds. You would be too, friends. If you were there, the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, His literal body came out of the grave and He's there and He talks to them, and now He begins to float and He's going up. And the clouds receive Him and they're sitting there staring like this. Do you see them looking at the clouds? The Bible says at that moment angels appeared and said this, Acts 1:11, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the same one which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Observing the Lord's Supper is an exalted privilege for the child of God. It is to be observed in remembrance of His gracious sacrifice for our sin. Dr. Lonnie Madden, I don't know if he's a doctor or not, but I'm going to call him one. He deserves to be if he's not. His book on milk and meat, he brought this out about the Lord's Supper, and I thought it was great. He said the Lord's Supper is threefold. It's a commemoration service. It's an examination service. and it's an anticipation service. We're anticipating the coming of Jesus Christ. Now tonight, I've given us about 10, 15 minutes or so here. I felt led of the Lord before I brought this message to the pulpit. I just felt led of Him saying, Jody, I know you're not observing the Lord's Supper tonight, but there's nothing wrong with letting the people brag on me. Nothing wrong with remembering me tonight, even though you don't have the bread and juice there, you can still remember me. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like these young men, maybe Bob, if you'll take some of these handhelds. We're not going to take long here tonight unless God gets in it. God gets in it. We'll stay as long as He tells us to. The fact of the matter is, if you feel led, we should have another microphone somewhere. If you feel led, what I want you to do is I want you to stand to your feet and you wait till one of these young men bring you the microphone, because we have precious people watching live and I want them to get in on this. I don't want any sad stories. I don't want any tales of, oh, look how bad life is on me. No, here's what I want to do. We're thinking about the Lord's Supper. And we're thinking exclusively of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His soon coming. We don't do this often, but I believe God can get in this. Make sure the Lord's in it. You say, Jody, how do I know the Lord wants me to stand and speak? Can I just answer that by saying this? You'll just know. And if He's in it, so be it. Let's pray together. And if you feel like the Lord wants you just to get up and brag on Jesus, not anything long now, because we want to give as many people an opportunity to do this as possible. Father, we love You. Thank You for what You've done. Thank You for the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Help us truly to praise You tonight. May You be honored. In Jesus' name. Who'll be first? You say, I just believe Jesus wants me to stand up and say something for Him. Yes, right back there. Let's take it to them. Amen.
I don't know if I can say it without crying, but Brother Vickers played a tape this morning on That's My King. And He died there on that old rugged cross, and He went to a barred grave. And He's alive today. That grave couldn't hold Him down. That's
Amen.
My King.
Amen.
And I don't own a mansion here on earth, but He told me I'm going to have one in heaven. That's my King.
Amen. God bless you. I believe the Lord is in that testimony right there, folks. Somebody else, you just say, listen, I just feel God's in it. God's in this. Just stand to your feet, if you can, right here. If you cannot stand to your feet, if you'll just raise your hand, we'll be happy to bring a microphone to you, okay?
Well, I'd like to say I'm glad I'm saved, and I want to say that I sure do love the Lord. And no matter how much it seems like I love Him, I can always love Him a little bit more.
Amen.
Get a little bit closer, and the closer I get, the more He loves me. And the more He loves me, the closer I want to get.
Amen.
Amen. I sure am glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad He saved me, and He sure is a special guy.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sir. Somebody else, you say, I believe the Lord just wants me to share a word. Just remembering the Lord tonight, that's what we're doing. Just remembering Jesus. Somebody else. Yes, sir.
Well, I just want to thank the Lord for saving me, and I haven't got over it yet. 33 years ago, I had no thought of God, had no use for God. But on a Wednesday night, about 15 to 9, I realized that what God had done for me, sent His only begotten Son to come and die on that cross to forgive me of my sins. And all I did was say yes. And boy, it's been good. I've went through, hey, if it gets any better, I don't know how I'm going to stand it. I tell you what, it's good. I just want to thank Him and praise Him for His goodness.
Amen.
Hey,
Amen.
He's really took care of me.
Amen.
I tell you what, you just can't beat being in the family of God.
Amen.
When they're singing that song, I said, told the preacher, I'm stuck with, y'all stuck with me. I'm here to stay.
Amen.
And I just want to praise God for His goodness and His mercy And I'm looking forward to what he's going to do in the future. And as we look, times gets rougher, that means we're getting closer to heaven.
Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Somebody else. Yes, right there in the middle.
Well, I sing every morning in my devotions, and two songs that I've been singing, Satisfied with Jesus.
Amen.
And the question comes to me as I think of Calvary. Is my master satisfied with me? But I am satisfied with him.
Amen.
And then another song, If I Gained the World, But Not the Savior, Would My Life Be Worth the Living? No. Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 Somebody else. Somebody else. Yes.
I just want to thank God for saving my soul, Brother Jody.
Amen.
And I learned back in 1998 that if we're bashful to speak for Jesus, if we're too bashful, that's the devil tells you, I don't stand up and speak. You'll say the wrong thing, or I wouldn't. Much of a public speaker at the time, but I want to give God the glory for what he's done in my life, how he's used. He's not any glory to me, but he's used me to be a testimony for him, and I've seen my family get saved, my son, my daughter, my grandchildren, and he's given me a good family. My daughter and her husband are here, Chad, it's amazing what he's done in Chad's life.
Amen.
And I just want to give him the glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Somebody else just have to give a testimony. Just have to give one.
I'm not worthy to stand. My God is so good. And I think even when he was talking about his body, how brutal it was. And he did it for me.
Yes.
If I was the only one alive, he would have done it for me.
Yes.
We serve a great and mighty God.
Amen. Amen.
And thank you for saving my soul and saving my family.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Somebody else just say, I've got to share this. I've got to share it. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, back there. Back there. We've got two right here. Wonderful. We'll get you next, okay?
Brother, I'd just like to say how thankful I am that God saved my soul.
Amen.
Looking back over the years, I deserved hell. That's exactly what I deserved. But had another opportunity this week to see my little five-year-old. We were having a Bible study in the bedroom Thursday night, and she refused to go to bed until she accepted God into her life. And that was just such a great blessing. And I just want to thank God for everything he's done for me, because I'm not deserving.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Right there. Praise the Lord.
Pastor, I just want to say that was a powerful sermon. Mm. And it breaks my heart to think how Jesus could suffer that much and go through all that for me.
Yes.
And I wonder, what have I done for him?
Yes.
What can I do? And when we sing in the choir, there's one song that we sing, it's called It Was For Me.
Yes.
It was for me he died.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm sorry he had to go through that suffering, but I know that we couldn't exist without it.
Amen.
And Amen. I just want to thank him so much for all he's done for me and my family.
Amen. 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 Miss Carol, if you'll come to the piano, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Sing this with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. She's going to begin to play through that song right there. Maybe you're here tonight, you don't even know what we're talking about. You may be here tonight and say, Jody, I could never stand up and talk about what Jesus has done for me because I'm not sure He's done that for me. Can I say this to you? He died for you as much as He died for me. But He does not force Himself on anybody. He simply offers Himself to you. Tonight we have two types of people here. We have those who know they're saved and those who don't. So I ask you tonight, are you a candidate for the Lord's Supper? See, only those who are truly born again are candidates to partake of the Lord's Supper. Because it's not receiving salvation, it's because you already have and you're remembering His goodness in your life. Is there one tonight say, Jody, I'm not a candidate for the Lord's Supper. But I see tonight that He did a whole lot for me. And tonight I'd like to accept Him as my Savior. But I'd really like to be saved. I'm through playing games. I'm done with it. And I realize that if Jesus loved me that much, I sure would like to know Him. I sure would like to learn more about Him. Receive Him as my Savior and have peace as I put my head on my pillow tonight. Is there one here say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that on purpose for anything in the world. But if you're here tonight and say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be. And I realize it'll change my life. Is there somebody like that tonight? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that at all in the building? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure. Just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. And I'd like to invite you that if God wants you to come, just to get on your knees if you can. If you can't get on your knees, just come have a seat on the front pew. Just to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Just come forward to praise God. If God's in it, you come. Let's all stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, take this thought. Use it in a mighty way. Challenge us from your word. Help us to remember your goodness. May your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Mike's going to begin to sing. As soon as he begins, if you feel God would have you to come just to say thank you, then you come to this altar. If you want to just say thank you to Him there at your seat, help yourself. But as He sings, come now. Would you do it? Come now. Would you do it? Come now.
Amazing grace.
God's in it. Come on.
Sweet the sound.
Just come and say thank you, Jesus. Your broken body, your shed blood.
Like me.
You say, I'd like to learn more about it. Come. We'll take a Bible. We'll share it with it. Share it with you.
Was lost,
but now I am found. Blind, but now I see. Keep on singing, Brother Mike.
'Twas grace that taught.
Thinking about Jesus. Thinking about the Lord.
And grace.
Jesus been good to you, hadn't He?
Relieved.
Died for you, bled and died, shed His precious blood, had His broken body. He did it all for you. He did it all for me. Praise Him. Praise Him. Lift His name up. Thank Him for His goodness, His mercy, His grace. Keep on singing, Brother Mike. People still responding. May the Lord's will be done in this service.
Dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace and brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me.
Let's sing that last verse. If you know it, sing it with us. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Let this church ever be a church that does not lift up man. Let it be a church that lifts up the name of Jesus Christ. It is all wrapped up in God. It's not about me. It's not about this church. It's not about any ministry we have. It's about Jesus, friends. All for Jesus. We lift Him up. God's blessing will rest upon this place. And we'll continue to see people saved. Lives changed. We had new believers in our midst this morning. Maybe you didn't realize that. We had folks who were saved last week who were in church this morning. Now we're going after them, trying to get them baptized, trying to disciple them. Something's going on around this place. And let's give it all to God where it belongs. We're going to pray. And let me remind you, all the Sunday school workers, bus workers, soul winners, let me meet with you just real briefly, right after church, right here in this center section. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Bless now. Thank you for this good service. Meet with us again, I pray, in the coming days. Fill us with your Spirit and power. Use us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. If you're staying for this meeting, all soul winners, all Sunday school workers.